Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast that we swear to God will have a planned topic one of these days. Oh, and also like story-driven campaigns or something. I'm Kevin.
I'm Steve, and I was also about to say like, yeah, when? Because I don't know if you want to say next time, because we don't know.
Hey, first of all, I kept it vague. Second True. Of all, welcome back. This is another kind of just... I don't know. We're testing it out. Maybe email us if you like, roimperfection@gmail.com. If you want to let us know if you hate this and we need to get on, or if not. I had another idea in addition to the scheduling topic that we really should do. I actually think that's going to be one of our next episodes, the scheduling. I just need to write it up. So yeah, Steve, what did you think of yesterday's session of Kids on Bikes?
I felt like I got punched when I should not have gotten punched.
Ooh, that is always fun. I mean, okay.
Fun?
So
what do
I
you
think,
mean fun?
I think that's fun. So to shed light on the situation for our listeners, Monster's character and Steve's character were having a conversation about facing a really powerful enemy, an enemy that I honestly was like, I don't know if you could tell this, Steve, I was not ready for you guys to confront yet.
I mean, you didn't like spell it out completely. Like I saw the hints because you're like, oh yeah, Abby puts on the necklace and then all of a sudden it's closed. And I was just like, okay, yeah. I mean, I feel like this is supposed to be like something we're supposed to like wager whether it's worth, you know, like going in here and doing this thing. And like the dude that's supposedly, you know, like gave Abby the necklace isn't around, so we can't rely on him. And then Alan was just like, you're stupid. Don't do this horrible thing that's going to cause someone to die. Like, why would you do that? And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But I don't see like what choice I have. He's like, go return the thing that you made the deal with this demon thing to. We assumed it was a demon thing or some supernatural magic dude who wanted bad things. But it was very obvious it was a demon or something akin to that.
I was not trying to be subtle. But yeah, so the basically, yeah. Steve's character, Brad, had made a deal with the local pawn shop demon, as you do.
didn't know that it was a pawn shop demon, though. I just wanted a camera.
He did just want a camera. He got a really good camera.
Yeah, for a decent deal, $20, and go deliver this letter for me.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask Steve, because I can't say, what does your camera do, Steve?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it either reveals something's like true nature or its original like situation. Like it doesn't work on everything that I take pictures of. But yeah, I don't know. Like I'm not sure if it's just like it changes like or if it shows like what the object actually is without like any like magical filters or whatnot. Cause I took a picture of the letter I was supposed to deliver and it was basically, the person I delivered it to was going to like shoot themselves.
He took a picture and instead of showing the envelope, it showed a picture of the guy he was supposed to deliver it to post blowing out his brains, post shooting himself in the mouth, essentially.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, we know from, and this is the part that was like rough for me because like they're just like, oh, you know, this don't deliver the envelope. It's bad. I'm like, how do we know this? People are telling me this. And I'm like, okay, but like, show me the evidence. And they're like, well, this one letter that we delivered, it caused problems. And it's like, for who and what and how many times? And it's like once and no one would tell me. So,
yeah, that's because
I understand there's a reason why they didn't tell me. But like,
yeah, that's because Monster's character, Alan, was dealing with trauma from a letter that had been delivered, and they found out later, although Trong's character, Tommy, was trying to hide the fact that he'd made a deal with the demon, and the letter he dropped off was to Alan's house. So at that point, they're both kind of trying to hide something.
Yeah.
So that led to Tommy's indecision making Alan really mad, because Alan was, you know, experiencing like legitimate harm. The letter had caused his mom to become depressed and a lot of other issues at, you know, that character's home. We're being real in this Kids on Bikes.
Yeah, game. Seriously.
Everyone's kind of surprised at how like serious I'm being with a lot of the issues. But that was all happening, and like Brad, Steve's character, didn't know any of this.
Nope.
So he gets punched and he's like, "What?" And both Monster and I are like, no, this actually makes perfect sense." But that led to a little frustration, right?
Yeah, because I was just like, really? You're gonna punch me? And I was like, okay, here, maybe there's a misunderstanding. Alan is not thinking through. And I'm like, okay, so you want me to take this envelope and this camera and just go back to this demon shop merchant and be like, sorry, sir, can I please get this exchanged? I don't want to do this anymore. Like,
now
that didn't make any sense.
I wasn't fully behind that idea, but it made sense from Monster's character's point of view. And I do think that's interesting, because I think that type of interaction, which is like really genuine and cool, and I could not have possibly really planned for that to fall out that way. Because if you had noticed, Steve, all my other plot hooks were like not that this episode. In fact, I was kind of trying to steer away from that, if you remember.
I actually don't remember what your plot hooks were.
That's because...
Because I got sidelined by that, and I was like, what the fuck?
You were... the plot hook... So, Steve's character has also had a couple episodes, if you listen to our last couple episodes, has had a couple episodes where he's, like, the main, you know, player.
Yeah. And then, so I was kind of sitting back on this one, having, like, kind of concluded, like, my mini-adventure, sort of, that I dragged other people along with, but...
And he was being a sport. He wanted to come along on, like, this, you know... I had hooked Nick's character into kind of doing like a exploring what her power was. And I was actually prepared for that before this incident blew up.
Yeah. Nick's character's Abby, by the way, as referenced earlier. Yeah. But
yeah. So it was interesting, but I do like that. And I don't know, man, do you, as the wronged character, I guess the reason why I wanted to draw this out and explain it as the wronged character in that situation, because it didn't really do any like damage to you either. Like, if we're putting this in D&D terms,
he didn't like hurt me like HP wise or anything really. No.
Yeah. The HP system in this is a little fuzzy. Let's equivocate it to like D&D, maybe like 4 points of damage to like a character with a decent, you know, 50 plus HP, right?
Yeah.
Some, but not like a lot. do you think that big like emotional twist was worth it?
Well, see, the thing
from your point of view,
from my point of view, like I still don't understand, so I can't say it was worth it. To me, it still doesn't make any sense because I don't understand where he's coming from. Because
both you as a player or as a character,
either I don't, the person, I don't understand. Like, it literally doesn't make any sense to me, the person, either. So I'm clearly missing a piece of the pie that I just don't understand where it makes sense. Because you both are like, oh yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'm like. Like, he's basically telling me, like, I don't want you to go do this thing to this other person that, like, I kind of know. You should go kill yourself, essentially. Go get yourself killed. Go walk into the lion's den is essentially what he was telling me to do.
Oh, no, I see the mistake. That's not what I'm backing up, I guess. What I mean is the fact that he got really mad and punched you because prior to that, Steve's character, Brad, was saying, like, oh, I don't know, like, I think I just have to go through with this. And at that point,
but I didn't understand what the, like, cause they didn't convince me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The consequences weren't real to
Brad. Yeah.
To Brad. Yeah. As for the prescription, no, I didn't.
Punch? Is that what you're trying to, is the punch?
No,
the
punch was fine. The punch was in character. The, him telling you to go and give it back. I was like, it's not a great idea, but also like, maybe I should have brought an NPC. I was considering bringing one of the characters I had introduced and been kind of playing with this session back. I was the nicest of the mean girls. I was considering bringing her back to like diffuse the situation.
Oh, like make us like have to shut up about discussing it basically, or
yeah, and kind of probably to try to like steer you away, but I decided not to just because I was like, well, maybe I should just let this go. You guys were trying to kind of steering, and I did eventually steer you to like back toward like a group activity with like, you know, Nick's character Abigail and my party NPC. And then you guys went back to the pawn shop, which I guess I could have stalled you there too. But I was like, you know what? I was resigned. I was like, let's just get some of this stuff out in the open.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, there was a lot for me to think about, like, when that was happening. Cause it's like, I was like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, his character's just being, like, in my character's opinion, like, crazy. I was like thinking about, it's like, maybe he would just be like, you know what, fuck it. Here, you take the camera and like throw it against a wall. And I was like, but if like he doesn't know what's gonna happen if he does that. So
I mean, there's also the selfish reason of Steve's character, Brad, likes the camera and it's been really helpful.
True. Yeah, it is. It has been really helpful, and like he does want to keep it, but he's not the type of person to be like, okay, I should keep it. And then like, I'm going to be honest with you, yeah, fuck it. I don't care.
yeah, no, go ahead.
Brad is going to try and burn that envelope when he gets home. He's not going to tell anybody. It's probably a stupid idea, but he's going to do it because his thought process was, well, actually, to like go into detail a little bit of what happened in the pawn shop real quick, because you talk to the guy, he's like, no returns. Of course, fucking demon wants you to go through with the stupid shit. And yeah. Alan was like, oh, you should leave the envelope and the camera there, because he didn't hear like the conversation that had happened. He wasn't in the pawn shop. And I was like, no, I'm not leaving either of them, because I didn't want to leave it there, because then he might get someone else to deliver it, which is just as bad as me delivering it. Sure. And I don't want to hold on to it either, because what it, like, if he is a demon, which it clearly seems like after talking to him and stuff and talking to some monster hunter dude, who owns vampires. Yes.
An ancillary character who has been in the game, but has kind of, he hasn't shown up since session one, and I brought him back to kind of like
De-escalate.
Help resolve the situation temporarily. As I said, not a thing they're meant to like deal with yet, but
yeah.
I was like, I can put a placeholder here and they can deal with it later. So,
yeah. So like after like talking to him, it's like clear that, you know, this thing has powers. And so I don't want a chance that maybe the envelope would somehow like float over, or someone would take it and go like, oh, it's got this person's name on it. I guess I'll deliver it. I don't trust that. Mm-mm, nope. So even though it's probably just going to like reappear on his desk or something the next morning, he's going to try and burn it. Regardless of what happens to the camera.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to get at here, making our listeners, I don't know, maybe some people enjoy the little like brief narratives we give. this is definitely a little longer. So I know like this is between a GM and a player who have like a, you know, a multi-year friendship.
Yeah. I don't know how this would go if we were not acquainted.
Yeah. Like, let's say now I want to pose a couple of what ifs to you. Okay, I don't think GMX would have been able to achieve something like this, just character-wise, personally.
Uh-huh.
But he's really good at making you frustrated with his NPCs, but for the wrong reason. But if this was GMX, would you be as trusting, or would you want more, like, would you, like, need to talk to the GM afterwards, I guess?
I don't think so with GMX. If this was a GM that, like, I didn't know personally, like, if this is, like, a game that I had gone to, like a comic shop or something and like played, and the GM was just like, oh no, yeah, it's something he would totally do. And the player's like, oh yeah, it's something I would totally do. And I didn't know either of them. I would definitely not have come back. I wouldn't even talk to the GM. I just would have just flat out left, to be honest. Cause okay. like, I'm not saying I'm like super angry or anything, just to be clear. I'm just saying that, like, I mean, we're just kind of like talking here about a random situation, but
No. I want to know. That's why I'm bringing. Oh, okay, that's why I wanted to hear about this. Yeah.
Because like, I know both of you, and I'm sure there's a reason. But like, if I was in a, you know, a random situation with other people I don't know, then I don't know if I could trust that. And that would probably just be better for me to like walk away and find a group that will at least talk to me about it, or like briefly, like in game at the table, like say like, oh no, you know, like they've gone through some stuff and this makes sense. Rather than just like, oh, no, it just makes sense. That's something they would do. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So I do think that's interesting. I do think this brings up kind of a thing we haven't really, well, we've mentioned it, but like, I think GM player trust and player trust are definitely things that are very, very fragile, right?
Yeah.
Cause I know that's why I brought up GMX. Cause I know, I feel like in your situation, I guess, cause the other thing is, dear listener, we were friends with him. Admittedly, it wasn't a great friendship, obviously, but I feel like I would have really withdrawn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you mean. Like, I still, like, GMX is just the type of person, like, where, like, I've gotten used to, you know, like, how...
Abuse?
Huh?
You've gotten used to abuse?
Kind of, yeah. You know, it's just like, oh, man, like, well, I'm friends with this guy, you know, like, I don't really... This is kind of annoying, but I'll roll with it type of thing, I guess. So, like, I still don't know if I would have, like, necessarily talked to him about it unless it was a repeat thing. Like, if it was a repeat thing... Then yeah, I would have been like, hey dude, like, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. Can you explain it to me? Or, you know, like, I couldn't trust GMX to like tell me, because he's the type of person that's like, oh no, you'll metagame. And it's like, no,
yeah, it's true.
No, I won't. You metagame. I don't. He's one of those guys.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a weird situation. Like, I didn't, yeah. It like mildly was like, I was like, I don't, like, what is happening here? I don't understand, as a person.
And I could sense that frustration.
Yeah, there was definitely frustration from me in the moment.
Yeah. And I was just like, I kind of like, okay, so to elucidate from my end, I kind of like how opaque a lot of the characters are to each other, because you guys really still don't know a lot about each other. And technically,
true.
One of the things I said literally last session was like, I want this game to go like a week of time. Spoilers, it's been like a day, another day in this freaking game.
like half a day. We're still on Friday.
I know. Well, we ended Friday, technically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, oh man, okay. I'm not going to, I realized I just wasn't going to make it. It wasn't in the cards. Too many people wanted to do too many things that required too much time. So, see, even when I have like planned, I still fail often.
True.
So don't let that get you down, GMs. But I also was like, I don't know. I think it's interesting, and I think it's still working for me. And I definitely think if you're still frustrated with something like next time, if I'm being real, real with you, I'm probably going to be, it's going to be a Band-Aid session. We had a lot of breaking bonds this session.
I was going to say, next like, session. I went from like, oh yeah, Alan's a good guy. Like, I like Alan. I feel like I could trust Alan, and Alan's going to have my back. He's going to be like my, I'm trying to think of a duo, and all I can think of is Rush Hour.
He's,
but now, like, now that I think about it, that's actually a good comparison. Cause yeah, we're not on good terms at the end of that one.
Yeah, yeah. And that happens, and I think it's good for characters to be on the outs. And like, Steve and Monster are not on the outs, I don't think.
No, we're not.
No, yeah. As long as that's there, I think a little friction's okay. I think a little misunderstanding, as long as there's the trust, is okay. And that's why I let it go. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make the judgment call. It's always in my mind, how much harm is this doing? Is it worth the dramatic potential? And... can I get them back? Can I get the party back together from this? And I've definitely missed that. Can I get the party back together? I've sometimes missed how much that's going to take, but I don't think it's going to take so much.
Yeah, no. Like, I think that Brad is going to give Alan, like, a lot of shit for a while, to be honest. At least until, like, Alan, like, gives, like, an appropriate apology from Brad's perspective. Like, I don't know if that's something that Alan would ever, like, consider.
I feel like that's something he could consider. See, it's good hearing this too, because now I'm like, I'm now adding that to my mental checklist. Like, next time is now like, get a week to go by in game. Try to get characters to, because I think actually a lot of apologies need to go around. But I do think a big apology session would be good. So
I can't. I think it's mostly, I don't know, from my perspective. I think the only ones that need to apologize are Alan and Tommy.
And you.
And me? What did I do? Like, I know Abby absolutely not. Like, I can't think of anything Abby did.
No, just once you realize, like, probably once you realize how you made them feel, I would think you'd at least be like, okay, like, I can, you know, maybe not full apology, but like a little commiseration.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like my character said anything that, like.
You were a little callous with someone. Like, they're like, picture of dead man. And you're like, eh.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was just like, well, okay. Well, not delivering that. But we got to do something about this. This guy that owns the store is giving the stuff out. And he's like, what do you mean? And he punched me. And I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Then it came off a little callous.
Okay.
So. Also, I don't think they realize that your character has fears of, like, feeling retribution from this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Which is another thing that I began resolving and I'm going to resolve more next time. I'm kind of going to, like, I'm, like, timing out this this plot line. I'm like, okay, brought in this other character, gave everyone protective jewelry. We're gonna call time out on the demon pawn shop for now. And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know, that was kind of the topic.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this to be like the full episode. basically.
Well, I mean,
but...
we could say some more stuff on like player trust. Because I do think this is something that GMs shouldn't try
to force.
And maybe that players shouldn't angle for until the GM and the players feel comfortable that that it's not just like shitting on a character, that it's actually for some like dramatic potential in the future, right?
True. I would say that like in this specific situation, this is really early on in the game in terms of like our characters knowing each other. I don't think if Alan had joined Brad on that one like mission where he was like super helpful and everything, like if it was just like if I just like grabbed Tommy for some other reason and grabbed Tommy for that, and Tommy helped me, and then Alan took no part in it whatsoever. I don't know if Brad would have like been very forgiving with Alan, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, to let the listeners know, you would have heard about this on a previous session, but they had gone on. Alan had basically volunteered to help for slightly selfish reasons, but still like basically like very much more vague motives, and just was kind of like, oh, that kind of makes sense, you know? Your quest seems valid.
Which I was surprised with, because it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to sneak in here and then adjust grades. And it's like, well, I mean, I will ask him if he wants to do it. And then you know, maybe if I tell him a little bit more about like why I'm doing it, maybe he'll be okay with it. And I was surprised. He was just like, yeah, sure. And then we went and he was like, he saved my ass, I think, a couple of times, as I recall.
True. Him and Craig.
Yeah, and Craig, yeah. Tommy was there. Tommy ended up being there later, but Tommy wasn't there to help. Tommy was just there to be like, what the fuck are you guys doing here?
Yeah, it was very much a spur of the moment thing. And I do think characters need, like, I wouldn't do this like pulling apart thing, and I definitely would have stopped it. Like, I would have full on put a stop to it if I didn't think like you guys had a little bit of glue in the previous thing. Like, because they've spent... Yeah. A couple misadventures, even though it's only been 2 days. They've had like bonding adventure, a little bit pulling apart, but also you guys kind of like had to stay together now, which is always a great position in my opinion. If you can have that friction, but the characters are still like, I'm frustrated with you, but I have to put up with you because otherwise things won't go my way, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So, okay. I think one of the things where we've definitely talked about it, but like I didn't feel so much trust, you know, is when we were both playing in the Kami's Burning Sands game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the first episode, and I've talked about this before, and like it's fair to sideline a character for a chunk of like the first episode, especially if they're like kind of an offbeat episode. Like, I feel like with my Kids on Bikes game, Nick's character Abigail, as you may have noticed, it has been a little bit sidelined, just because like also Nick was like, oh, everyone's a senior, I'm gonna be a junior, and like,
yeah,
I was like, okay. And he definitely refused like a plot hook, a significant one, the aforementioned sneaking into a place which was school. So I feel like some of that is like a little warranted, although I have been throwing plot hooks, right? Trying to get everyone in the same spot. I actually pulled back. I literally had my NPC character show up to pull Nick back into this plot hook that we were just talking about, right?
Yeah, true.
God, teleporting characters are great. I'm like, maybe I should write a teleporter into like fucking all of my games. This shit's fantastic. Fuck plot teleportation. Like,
as long as it's limited,
just put in regular, yeah, limited teleportation. They kind of spent my poor NPC. She's got a lot of problems, and now she's like battery drained.
I was surprised when you had the guy go over to her. It's like, oh yeah, we can't simply just walk through the door anymore. We need to teleport in there, and she's like already like half passing out.
Yeah, I mean, the session literally ended with her eating a sandwich, drinking some tea, and passing out on a couch.
Yeah.
So.
But you were talking about Burning Sands.
But Burning Sands. So my character, Sabina, who I mentioned before, still want to go back to that game. Note, this did not deter me, partially because the Kami and I have had great experiences. Steve, Kami, great experiences?
In the past? Yeah, we have. Yeah.
But for the entire first session, my character was like in prison. And I have bad memories of a character spending a first episode in prison. Thank you, GMX. We've talked about the whipping to death episode in the past as well. My character was like imprisoned for like half an episode. And then the rest of it was like very confined to like one area. And like, that's a problem, you know? I feel like, especially if you need your game to be a little bit on rails for like the first part of it, there's an issue with segmenting or shunting off like one character purposefully, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I wonder if it, I mean, I see this like when I go back in like hindsight, like look at, you know, like my games and I run them and stuff.
There's always hindsight.
Yeah, there's always hindsight. Yeah, and it's never pretty. But like,
hey, it's sometimes pretty. What?
No, I mean, like when you're looking back and, you know, it's bad, you're like, oh, man, you feel really bad about it is what I mean.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I don't mean everything that you've ever done is bad.
Yeah.
That's not what I was saying. Sorry.
Well, I thought you were saying everything you've done is bad.
No.
That is 110% not true. I was there. I can testify.
Yeah, no, it's not. But like, I feel like a lot of my mistakes when I go back and I look at them are as a result, at least for me, I don't know if this is like, you know, all GMs, maybe you can speak a little bit more about this because you have a lot more experience than I do. But like,
I have a lot more mistakes, yes.
A lot more room for mistakes, yeah, sure. But it seems like a lot of my mistakes are as a result of like trying to, man, I don't even know how to explain it. So like if I have a situation where, you know, a character is, you know, in jail, or whatnot, and doesn't have their weapons, doesn't have any gear, doesn't have anything like that, and that's how they want to start the first session. Okay, cool. But like me, the person like preparing for it, is like, okay, you know, they've got to, you know, do some sort of escape attempt, and I've got to make sure, you know, like the guards aren't stupid. They're not going to like leave the key where that they can just like go and reach and grab it. They may not have anything to pick the lock, you know, like I might like make all these things against them because it doesn't make any sense for it to be like super easy to just break out. So I'll make it a lot harder than it should be if I was doing that, you know what I mean? Like you just like think too logically and not player and story driven. Like,
yeah, I do think that's a problem. And admittedly, going back to the Kami situation, my character did meet and make a connection with a couple of higher up characters, but it like really didn't seem to like mean a lot or affect the later sessions either. Yeah. And I think that was annoying. That's another thing too, man. Like it's frustrating, but you do kind of have to keep track of like, okay, they've met this person, they're interested in this person. And I'm saying this and I'm sure Steve's like, yeah, and you have a million characters and kids on bikes, but, I know them all and I know what they're all going to do. And if you're cool with that, run with it. But I do think that overthinking, honestly, and I feel like I've gone on a fuck realism rant before.
Yeah,
but you really do need to think of it as like, okay, imagine you're in a video game and you in the video game are this character and the video game expects you, like, you're in there and you're like, okay, what am I going to do? This is a game. cool. I'm going to go around. I'm going to click on everything. I'm going to press all the buttons. I'm going to try to figure out what the buttons do. Maybe a couple button combinations, you know?
Yeah.
And if none of that shit works, I mean, if none of that shit works, I'm going to go online. I'm going to find a guide. And if the thing is too complicated, I might give up on the game right there, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's more of the mentality. As much as we say don't think about it like a video game, you do have to think about it like a game, though. And I do think you have to have like a good reason. And honestly, oh man, we've had good prison episodes on our chalkboard for a while. Maybe that's one of the ones we need to do.
Maybe, yeah. Soon.
Our Thanksgiving episode, good prison episodes.
Yeah. I was gonna say that might be something to do, because I know that's something that a lot of people struggle with, is they like half expect like, oh, the players have these spells in D&D, so they'll probably be able to figure something out to like make a key, and you know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, actually, that's actually on the opposite side. So like, as a GM, I feel like sometimes you're like, this doesn't make sense for this to happen this way, so I can't like let this just happen. And sometimes you're like, well, you have to, in order for the story to progress and things to move on. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that always like makes 100% sense, and maybe it's just, oh, they lucked out. But from the player's perspective, sometimes you're like, oh, well, yeah, I can make things out of stone, but I can't make a key out of stone. It's like, well, why not? Because I don't know what the lock looks like on the inside. I don't know what shape the key should be.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, honestly, all of this just has me thinking about, it's a film I've recommended before. It's called A Chinese Ghost Story. And I can't remember. It might be A Chinese Ghost Story Part 2. But I've watched all three, and I think all three are good. In one of them, a character gets tossed in jail with this like wacky other character. And basically, the other character is like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up? And they like spend like some awkward time together, and the character's really cagey. And you come to find out it's because the other character's like protecting like a way out, until they realize that the main guy who's been thrown in there is trustworthy. And then basically they both just use the tunnel to get out. And I honestly think it can be that easy. It can be just be like, you know, oh, there's just a like way out in here that no one's found. That's it. Like,
yeah,
you know, the character notices a draft or something like that. It really doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't always need to be. They use their rock hammer to hammer a hole in a wall and then crawl through a mile of shit. Right, Steve?
True. I was actually going to make reference to, I can't remember what movie that was that we watched. The one where they get stuck inside of a police house and have to have like inmates help them out. What was that movie?
Oh, Assault on Precinct 13.
Yeah, that one. Movie. Yeah. So like, you know, they make friends with like, you know, what was the guy's like jail name? He was just like,
Napoleon.
Napoleon, yeah. It's like,
yeah.
I guess like, how'd you get the name Napoleon? It's like, I'll tell you one day. They'd make like allies with a guy who is on death row for murder and have him help them out. And it's like an unlikely ally, but you know, and he didn't necessarily want to escape either. Like, he just didn't want to just like die in a shithole, I guess.
Yeah.
That, and he kind of thought the girl was cute, but.
True. Yeah. And I honestly, first of all, love that movie. second of all, I think that's fine. I think, you know what, sometimes makes it easy. It's just going to be okay. Especially if you're trying to like build trust, or you just needed the dramatic arrest moment to like make an enemy or do a plot point. Like, you have to figure out how much your player trusts you and how much you want them to suffer and be frustrated. And I'm talking player, not character. Characters are made for suffering. Players are not made for suffering. but yeah, like, I don't know, man, how much of this is important. Maybe it's just because I've been grading some, but quite often it's just like, how much of this is important? Like, how much of this do we really need? How much of this is filler bullshit?
Yeah, I think that's just when you need to like kind of like analyze it as it's happening and just kind of figure out, you know, if we need to like move on the topic, or if there's something that needs to be like resolved as its own like miniature plot point, like you're doing in Kids on Bikes, or if it's like its own major plot point and it enhances the story and you want to like accentuate it. So yeah.
And it should be apparent that it's like that, that it's that it is a plot point, that it is that Steve's frustration, even momentary and not super, super lasting.
Yeah,
that it isn't just me making him frustrated for its own sake.
Yeah, no, I can tell it wasn't intentional, which is why I was just like, if it was a random group I didn't know, then I'd have no way of knowing if this was like GM favoritism or something like that. Oh, God. So I was like,
should we put GM favoritism on the fucking list?
Yeah, yeah, maybe we should do a topic on that.
It might be a short episode, but I feel like I could do 30 minutes on GM favoritism. Maybe right before the the Valentine's Day episode. No, I joke. But yeah, I think that's that, yep. Man.
All right. Well then, remember to play what you love, and until next time, may your characters do something epic.
Hopefully, not purposelessly. Hopefully it has a purpose. Maybe epic busting out of jail. Shit, I might have to use this one later.
You might have to use that one later, yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.